If you got your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy, that is in the Old Testament, chapter 8. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8. Let me get all my paperwork here. I've been having a lot of stuff up here. Deuteronomy, chapter 8. As you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8, I want to say something. In September of 1974, at about 8:45 at night, I yielded to the anointing of salvation. I was born again in 1974, Labor Day weekend, about 8:45 on a Saturday night in Boston, Massachusetts, where I came to the knowledge of Jesus through Dr. Billy Graham's evangelistic ministry. I consider him, this is my opinion, I think he's the Daniel of our century, of our age, a phenomenal man of God. And everything that I have done for the Lord Jesus, he will get credit for also. I see that in the scriptures when Paul wrote to Philemon about Onesimus. He said, Philemon, you owe me your soul. Think about that, because he brought him the gospel. But Dr. Graham, you may be watching this today. I don't know. I owe you my soul. I know Jesus saved it, but it was through your ministry that I came to the knowledge of Christ. And today, I'm preaching on over 2,700 television stations across America and the world, translated in 13 different languages. Thousands and thousands of people every week get born again through this ministry. Because, and I'm saying this, I yielded to an anointing called salvation. And it changed my life. Then as the devil tried to attack my body, there were several anointings in the Bible. And no anointing can be obtained or received until you yield to it. I received and yielded to the anointing of healing. I tried sick and I didn't like it. It didn't feel good. I thought, I don't think this is giving God any glory. When Jesus took my infirmity, why would I want it back? If he bore my sickness, why would I want it back? And if he said by his stripes I was healed, and why would I have to whip him twice for me to get healed again? But to receive that in the fullness of it, I had to yield to that anointing of healing. So there was two anointings that were very powerful in my life that I've yielded to and am yielding all the days of my life. One is the anointing of salvation. The other is the anointing of healing. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 8, are you there? I want to start reading in verse 12. Well, let me read verse 10 first. When thou hast eaten and are full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. This is God talking to Israel. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, verse 11, in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and are full and hast built beautiful houses. Those the word houses are plural. God don't mind you having more than one house. The church does. The secular world does, because they think poverty is the way to go, but they refuse to be poor themselves. They always want someone else to be poor. But God says, I don't mind you having houses if that's what you want. And you dwell therein. Verse 13, when thy herds and thy flocks multiply. So God's into multiplication. And thy silver and thy gold is multiplied. Now God's into money. He says, I want your money to multiply. How many of you need your money to multiply? All right. And all that thou hast is multiplied. How many of y'all want everything you got to multiply except your weight? Okay, you got that revelation right now. Hallelujah. Verse 18 is where I want to get to. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee. It is he that giveth thee power. Everybody say power. To do what? To get wealth. Now, if wealth is wrong and should not be spoken of, then why did God give you the power to get it? And if prosperity is a wrong gospel or a heresy, then how come God gave us the power to get it? But notice he says this, I want the credit for it, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Now notice, God always has a project, always has a purpose, that he may establish his covenant, which he swear unto thy fathers as it is this day. Ladies and gentlemen, I yielded to the anointing of salvation and I got born again. I yielded to the anointing of healing and I got healed. Now here's the title of my message. When will we yield to the anointing of wealth? How long does it take for you to learn to receive what God gave you power to get? Because you see, if you do not yield to the anointing, because it is an anointing of wealth, how do you know that? Jesus said in Luke, for the Spirit of the Lord God's upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach the gospel, good news to the poor. You can't do it unless you got something to do it with or a vehicle to get to that place. When will we yield to the anointing of wealth? This may seem controversial to some people, but you understand something. When we start yielding to the anointing of wealth, and it's not just money, it's an anointing, then bless God, Jesus will come because the gospel will reach to the world. When will we yield to the anointing of wealth? But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. So why would people criticize me because wealth is a part of my life? Wealth is, it happens to me. Why? Because I'm a giver. That makes the devil mad because you see, he wants to destroy people and don't give you any substance whatsoever to help people. But the reason why I'm a blessed man, I've learned to yield to the anointing of wealth, not to another car or to another ring. That's just a substance of something. You see, notice what the people are asking for in all the great tragedies of the world. They need what? Things. Do you understand that? When the earthquakes happen, they need things. When tsunamis happen, they need things. When a volcano explodes, people's things are destroyed. And the first thing they do is get on a television or some vehicle and say, would you send us some what? Things. Now, what does the Bible say about things? Let me tell you what it says. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things. Everybody say things. Things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So in this verse, it tells me that God don't have a problem with wealth and he don't have a problem with things. How come you do? Because you have not yielded to the anointing of wealth. You've yielded to the anointing of salvation. You've yielded to the anointing of healing. When will we yield to the anointing of wealth? When will we be able to be a blessing to anyone that comes in front of us? When we get that anointing and yield to it, and the anointing's already been given, all you got to do is yield to it. You know, I could have got saved a lot earlier if I'd have yielded to it. You know, the only time you sin is when you yield to it. Notice you don't sin when you don't yield to it. Yielding is a vitally important thing. Do you see what I'm saying? You know what? For Christmas, my daughter gave my wife a mixer, some kitchen stuff. Now, Kathy's going to have to yield to it. She's going to have to yield to it because it's going to look good for 900 years. It ain't going to be used. I don't care how good the mixer looks. I don't care how nice all this stuff is. If you don't yield to it, it won't work. The world will not be won and the kingdom will not be advanced if we fail to yield to this important anointing. Write that down. The world will not be won and the kingdom will not be advanced if we fail to yield to this most important anointing. You see, I've learned to yield to the anointing of wealth. Consequently, I have a church that's debt free and a worldwide global ministry that's debt free. Kathy's debt free. Jesse debt free. Glory to God. Eddie, my son-in-law, and my daughter Jody debt free. Why? We learned to yield to that anointing. And you're going to tell them, you're going to get criticized. So when you yielded to the anointing of salvation, your family got mad at you. You know, if you're from South Louisiana, you got to be Catholic at least once. Oh, Lord Jesus. How many of y'all, man, you might have been raised Catholic. All of a sudden, you went to another church other than a Catholic church. Oh, your family said, what's the matter with you? You devil? Are you leaving the mother church? No, I ain't leaving mama. Poor people have a flaming faith. You get ready for criticism when you learn to yield to the things of God. Because the natural man receiveth not the things of God because they're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. I had a person pull me on the side the other day and say, you have magnetism. You ought to run for office. Jesse, you can talk. And your life's clean. You don't have no scandal. Lord, man, you got... Well, I said, have you ever thought in your finite mind God didn't call me to do that? God didn't call me to run for governor or run for whatever. He didn't call me to do that. He said, run the race. Amen. Amen. He said, run the race that is set before you. What is that race? The calling and the commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's greater than politics. Amen. Hallelujah. And if they'll listen to us, we can change politics. Yeah. So the world will not be won and the kingdom will not be advanced if we fail to yield to this important anointing. Now, how do I yield to it? There's a little word that most people don't like. It's a four-letter word. It's called work. Work is the primary ingredient in yielding to wealth. When will we yield to the anointing of wealth? When we start work. Work and obedience is what he demands. Write that down. Work is the primary ingredient in yielding to wealth. Work and obedience is what he demands. God demands. He don't ask. He demands that. Now, Proverbs 13:11 says, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished. But he that gathers by labor shall what? Increase. That's Proverbs 13:11. You gather your wealth by labor. Now, people, you're looking at one of the hardest working men that ever put on a pair of shoes in his life. I've been working since I'm a kid. My daddy taught us to work. You understand? We had to work. You won't work, you don't eat. Just that simple. That's the way it was. And I'm a worker. And most people that have something are workers. What are you saying? Work is the primary ingredient in yielding to the anointing of wealth. You see, people think that you're going to be in heaven laying on the ground and angels are going to come drop grapes in your mouth. They ain't going to do that. They're going to say, get up, you lazy fool. Do something. Work and obedience is what he demands. It's what he demands. A good salesman is one that'll work. Yeah, but those people that don't work don't have a good attitude. You know, it's the houses they don't live in. You can give them a brand new house and it'd be tore down in 3 weeks. Why? Because they don't know how to work. And they're some of the fattest people you ever saw in your life. Why? They don't move. They don't move. Oprah Winfrey said, you got to move. She started moving, became a billionaire, and lost a bunch of weight too at the same time. You see? People thought, you thought it would be something great spiritual. Okay, Lord, I'm going to yield to the anointing of God. Okay, first thing you got to do is work. Huh? Look what it says in Proverbs 10:4. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Well, notice that. That's Proverbs 10:4. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. In other words, bless God, just because you get rich, you can't stay rich if you just stay doing nothing. You see what I'm saying? Now, the reason why the kingdom of God has not went across the world is because we haven't yielded to the anointing of wealth. And that means we hadn't yielded to work and obedience to do the work. See, God not only gives you power to get wealth, but also gives you power to keep it. Write that down. How many people you've seen won the lottery and 3 years later, Lord Jesus, ain't got a dime. Broke, busted, divorced, beat up, mad, and in jail. Isn't that amazing? Let me say it again. God not only gives you power to get wealth, but also shows you how to keep it. How do you keep it? Proverbs 8:18. Riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable riches and righteousness. In other words, God don't expect you to go broke. The world can go broke, but you can't go broke if you understand the anointing of wealth. If the devil destroys something, you got enough wealth to rebuild it better than what it was before. Do you see what I'm saying? And mark my words, all these people that have had destruction in the world, watch what's going to come out of building. Watch. Go, if you ever get a chance, go over there and find out where God did miracles. You'll see what will happen. And the devil said, don't send nothing over there no more. Lord, did they build stuff better than we ever thought they could build? That's Proverbs 8:18. Riches and honor with me. Yea, durable. I like the word durable, riches and righteousness. God not only gives you power to get wealth, but also shows you how to keep it. When will we yield to the anointing of wealth? And yet we got preachers today literally preaching against this. And yet they want the world saved. They want to go on television. They want to go on radio. They want to be a help and they can't. They can't be a help. Why? Because they will not refuse to yield to the anointing of wealth. You see what I'm saying? You can't. Let me tell you something, man. If you're not willing to work and you don't yield to that anointing, I don't care what people give you. You will never be nothing in the world. You will be poor and then you'll get to another stage called po. And po is bad and worse than poor. Poor is a four-letter word. Po means government cheese. It's coming your way. It may make a good cheese sandwich, but it'll constipate the fire out of you too. All at the same time. You need healings. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But God said, thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. You see, that's what I do with God has given me in my life. Every time somebody said, boy, but Jesse, you're doing real good. I said, the Lord had been good to Jesse. Lord, I remember the Lord thy God. For it's he that gave me the power to get it and the power to keep it. And he does it through work and obedience. Now, how do I get it? You can't have what you speak against. Write that down. If you speak against prosperity, you will never have it. If you speak against sick healing, you'll be sick all the days of your life. If you speak against not living long, you're going to die, sucker. Did you get that? I hope I made that as plain as I possibly can. Whatever you speak against, you can't receive. Let me say it again. You can't have what you speak against. Obedience is the key to receiving anything of substance, spiritually, physically, or financially. Whatever you speak against, you can't have. I don't believe that prosperity man. Well, bless God, you know, go get it. I don't believe in speaking in tongues. Don't worry about it. You never will. I don't believe in healing. Well, enjoy your sickness, fool. I don't mean that rudely, but that's the truth. Whatever you speak against, you can't have. You know why I I'm not going to hell? Because I speak against it. Somebody shout over that, will you? That's why I'm not going to hell. Because I speak against it. You know why I haven't committed adultery in my life? Because I speak against it. You know why I haven't stolen money out of the ministry? Because I speak against it. Whatever you speak against, you can have. That's pretty simple, isn't it? And I ain't the ugliest man in the world. Don't let this white hair fool you. My wife looked pretty happy. She should be. She got a man here. Ooh, hurt myself. That's when I was younger. Glory to God. See, you can't have what you speak against. My God. Obedience is the key to receiving anything of substance, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial. Do you understand that? When will we yield to the anointing of wealth? Let me tell you, the day that the church yields to the anointing of wealth in its completeness, not worrying about what somebody drive, what somebody wear, what somebody live in, Lord, Jesus, you will see demons running off this planet like crazy, because all the power they got is in money. And the Bible said the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Just in case y'all don't know, I'm the just. I'm the just. How many of y'all are the just? Are you the just? Then it's coming your way if you yield to it. It's the year of overflow. Lord, it'll not happen to you if you speak against it. Or he's just saying that. Well, go on home, be poor, broke fool. What are you saying? I'm saying yield to the anointing of wealth and speak for it instead of against it. You won't get greedy. Trust the God that trusts you. Don't trust them fools that don't even trust themselves. People preaching against prosperity don't trust themselves. Can't you see that they don't trust themselves? So if they don't trust themselves, they can't trust you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Usually what people preach against is what they're doing. Remember the 80s? That's all I'm going to say right there. You can't have what you speak against. I don't mean this to sound hard, but the Lord thinks it's very foolish for people to not believe what he says. He says, remember me, Jesse. I said, I will, Lord, for it is me who giveth you power. Okay, to get wealth. And you know, I've never had the Lord say, Jesse, I think that car is a little bit too nice. I've had vehicles, the Lord said, would you please go park that at your house? Don't put that in front of my house. I don't want people to think I'm a poor God. Boy, I'm going to get an ugly letter one out. Yeah. Because God will tell you what he wants. Go read what I read earlier. He said, I want silver, brass, gold, goat's hair, which means brioni. That ought to help some of you Italians out. Fine clothes. He don't mind all that stuff. But people do. Why? They don't trust themselves. You know, a lot of guys preach. They don't hug another woman. Then why do you hug them after you leave church? Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Let me tell you why. Because you see a woman as a sexual object to be conquered. Now, if anybody's going to get conquered, you're going to get conquered. Because women are controlling the world. Even the president of the United States said that. What do? I do whatever she tells me to do. That makes sense to me. It works that way. When people want to know something about my ministry, they call Kathy. Now, what does that tell you? You want to get something done, call Kathy. Now, Jesse's an idea man, but Kathy has the nuts and bolts of the operation. And that's true. I said, we're going to do something. And her name is we. Now my job is to produce it. You said we're doing this, it's going to cost $1 million. Go get it. Okay, Jesus. Okay, Kathy. We all learned that from Jesus. Why? It's the Mary syndrome. Whatever he tell you to do, do it. On the cross, he could have said, tell Joseph bye. Thanks for taking care of me for 33 years. Nothing. He said, take care of my mama. I'm telling you, women are controlling the world. But men make us think that we are. And we're stupid enough to believe it. That's the most amazing thing I've seen in my life. But that's another sermon. Now listen to this. Wealth and riches and estates are not matters of chance. Write that down. You know who said that? One of the wealthiest men that ever lived on the earth. John D. Rockefeller Sr. They asked him, how come you are so wealthy? He said, the hand of providence is present. No one can become this wealthy without the hand of God. You're just not that smart. Now listen to this point. Wealth, riches, and estates are not matters of chance. The hand of providence is present. See, when you remember the Lord thy God, and John D. Rockefeller Sr. did, like Deuteronomy 8:18 says or instructs you to do, the getting of money, and I want you to listen to this, for you that are about ready to criticize this message, the getting of money becomes a sacred, everybody say sacred, becomes a sacred act. It's not just to produce wealth so you can go buy yourself something. This becomes a sacred act. God calls the things, his money, the holy things. Ooh, and if you touch it, you die in the Old Testament. Let me say it again. When you remember the Lord thy God, like Deuteronomy 8:18 instructs you to do, the getting of money becomes a sacred act. What does that mean? Deuteronomy 28:2. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Notice obedience is in that. Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord brings wealth, and he adds no trouble to it. That's the NIV translation. The blessing of the Lord brings wealth. It's going to happen. It's a byproduct of getting close to God. Well, what about the disciple? You got to understand, when the church was being built, who had all the money was Rome. They didn't have nothing but a few fish. But God had to start with something, with a foundation. And if you notice them, they never starved. Now, the Apostle Paul had a terrible tribulation because the church wouldn't help him. Only one church, no church communicated with me. That's what Paul said. That's his reputation. No church. No, heathens helped Paul more than the church did, other than the Philippian church. They were his partners. You understand that, you that are partners with Jesse the Planet's Ministries. You are my partners. You are my extended family. It's not just a money operation or a money connection. That had anything to do with it. That's the byproduct. It's the connection that God, what's in my life comes upon you, what's in your life comes upon me. The anointings begin to merge together and produce something that the devil cannot stop. Can't you see that? So wealth and riches are and estates are a matter of what? They're not matters of chance. The hand of providence is present. The blessing of the Lord brings wealth. What do you want me to do? Every time I get around God, I get healed and I get blessed. What do you want me to do? What are you going to do when you get to heaven and God puts you on a gold street with a gold mansion? What are you going to do? No. Oh, did you really want us to be like that? Yeah. Why? Because I'm like that. Do you realize how God is? God is like that. Do you realize where God lives? It's not in a project. He's not eating government cheese. Huh? Do you understand that? He has no budget. He is limitless. He has no limits. And he expects us to believe and do the same thing he does. Even Jesus said to go do the work that I do and do it greater. When will we yield to this anointing of work? We've yielded to the anointing of salvation. We've yielded to the anointing of healing. We've yielded to the anointing of humility. But sometimes we thought we were being humble when we were being stupid. Oh God, if I could just do this for you. Well, believe this, give and it shall be given unto you. Oh no, we don't give to get. But oh Lord, I'd sure like to build some more to the church. Well, give and it shall be given unto you and receive the hundredfold. Oh no, we don't believe that. Oh God, I want to help the mission field. okay, sow a seed, bless God, and believe for the 30, 60, 100-fold return and 1,000 times. Oh, no, we don't believe in that. You're answering your own self. You're killing everything you believe in for because you will not yield to that anointing of wealth. You know, when I first got married to Kev, we had a great marriage. We've been married at the time of this preaching, 34, going on 35 years. I mean, I was boss hog. Do you understand what I'm saying? If I told Kathy, jump, she'd say, ha, ha. That's when she was young. She told me, you ain't married that young girl anymore, fool. I'm going to tell you something. But she would just do whatever I said. And I think I probably abused it. Which, I guess I did. But when I did, when I decided to yield, she quit cooking. She quit all that stuff. And you know, we live better now than we ever did because I've learned to yield. Where you want to go? I said, Kathy, what's the plan? Because they ain't used me to have a plan. Because if I said, we ain't doing it. It's just a waste of words. So it ain't no use to start. Well, I don't know. What's your plan? I said, whatever you want, Kathy. No, how come I always got to do it? Because that's what you want in life. Well, where you want to eat? Well, I'll go over to Panda King. Ah, all right, where you want to eat, Kathy? I want to be served. Okay, where you want to go? But I'm so hungry. Well, let's go to a buffet. We'll serve ourselves. No, I want to be served. Okay. I've learned to just yield. It works. When we go shopping, let me help you, man. Yield. It'd be a lot easier. It'll work. It'll come past. Don't worry. God will take care of you. He knows your wife. He'll meet the need. She's not being greedy because she might want something. Or you might want something. It's really amazing how men get so mad at women because they spend too much money. We ain't got that kind of money until they see a boat or a shotgun. Isn't that amazing? All of a sudden, my God, Lord, Jesus, the Lord told us to buy that boat, honey. Yeah, but I just wanted that dress for $200. And here's a $9,000 boat the Lord will provide. Men get full of faith when it's a boat that they want. What are you saying? The agenda of your life is outlined by God and not by yourself. Write that down. That to yield to the anointing of God, you have to understand, or the anointing of wealth is, the agenda of your life is outlined by God and not by yourself. You see, for me to be a success in the ministry and a success in my Christian life, I had to find my outline in this Bible. I had to find me in every verse. I found that I was in Christ, in whom everything that was me God was talking about. I had to find my outline to find out what I would do in my life. You see what I'm saying? The agenda of your life is outlined by God and not by yourself. Psalms 25, verse 12 and 13. Who then is the man that fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way chosen for him. This is God talking. He will spend his days in prosperity and his descendants will inherit the land. That's the NIV version of Psalms 25, verse 12 through 13. Let me read it again. Who then is the man that fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way chosen for him. He will spend his days in prosperity and his descendants will inherit the land. Do you see that? God, but see, if you can't find yourself in this Bible, how are you ever going to yield to the anointing of wealth, much less the anointing of salvation, or the anointing of healing, or the anointing of humility? Most people have yielded to the anointing of criticism. I tried that, it didn't work. Trying never gets nothing done. You don't try to fly a plane, you fly it, or you'll crash. Right? You didn't try to come to church. You got in your car and came. You don't try to buy gas. You go get it. And if you tried to get married, it ain't going to last long. Do you understand what I'm saying? Trying don't get nothing done. If you tell your child, eat all your dinner, I'll try. I want you to go to school, I'll try. That ain't going to work. You're looking for someone with a diligent hand. If you are a minister of the gospel, don't go to raise an offering. Go to raise a vision. Write that down. Problem with ministries today, and they struggle with money, because they're going to try to raise an offering instead of raise a vision. Now, Jesus said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge of what? Lack of knowledge of what you're going to do if we give you this stuff. You got to make the vision plain. But most people go on to raise an offering. I go raise an offering. I went and helped several churches the other day to get paid off. One of the offerings was $3.5 million. I told a person that, he said, wow, that's serious money. Yeah, you know why? I didn't raise an offering. I raised a vision. They've been raising offerings for years. But you raise a vision, and people want to get involved in that. Do you see my point? Because if you're trying to raise an offering to get there, then you see, you put limits on. A vision has no limits. It can go forever. An offering has a limit. After a while, they quit. You see what I'm saying? If you are a minister of the gospel, then don't go raise an offering. Go to raise a vision. When you understand it, then you yield to the anointing of wealth. And you got to constantly tell people, it's the Lord that gave me power. I'm constantly being criticized. I don't think I'll go a day in my life without being criticized somewhere in the world for what I believe in. They call me one of them prosperity boys. That used to make me mad. Then I got to thinking, that's better than being called one of them pole suckers. I thought, man, that's probably one of the best compliments God ever gave me. Prosperity boys. Yeah, you know what? I am accomplishing my destiny and reaching my destination. I am preaching the gospel to the world. Guess what? It didn't happen till I yield to the anointing of wealth. I was saved before I had anything, and I just couldn't get out of town. God said, go to the world. My tires look like onions. And I got no gas in my car. He said, well, give and it shall be given to. Oh, Lord, we can't do that. We give, but we don't expect nothing in return. And guess what we got? Nothing in return. Because we expected it. See my point? And the devil's used this. And because some people abused prosperity, made it a money message instead of an obedience message, a lot of people walked away from it. And when it's strictly in the Bible, it's God giving you the power to get it. A rich memory should follow a rich life. Ooh, I like that. It is the gift of God to have the anointing to obtain wealth. You know, I've got to a point in my life. Let me say something will make somebody mad. See, I'm yielded to the anointing of wealth. I have now almost totally forgot how bad it was. And I am so glad. Oh, what happens if you lost everything? Oh, you can understand. I already learned how to abase. I hadn't forgot how to be abased. I can be abased real quick. I'm learning how to abound. You see, that's the problem. You never should lose your faith to sacrifice. What it means is, Paul said, I know how to abase and I know how to abound. But I've got to a point, I don't have to go to the store no more and look for that macaroni and cheese in them boxes at 22 cents a box. And Kathy put some weenies in it. We didn't have sausage, we had weenies. How many of y'all used to cook weenies for breakfast instead of bacon? Forget a hog, man. The only hog you ever saw was one that was alive. You didn't get nothing to eat on that. Let somebody do with the cage and say, gave a boucherie. Oh, Jesus. Think of some of y'all, you already know what I'm talking about. You that are, that's not tongues, you that are watching by the internet. That's called butchering a hog. The only thing you lose in a hog is, that's it. Everything else you eat, that sucker, you eat his lips, you eat his feet, you eat his skin, you eat ham. Excuse me, if you're Jewish, you don't eat ham. But you eat everything on that cow. Praise God. You see my point? I've almost totally forgot it. But that doesn't mean I can't abase. I'll give you a prime example. One of my employers one time, but we, you know, I always put them in nice hotels. You know, they get a nice hotel, got something nice to eat. And I thought, praise God, went to the little small town. And the Spirit of God said, when you go into the town, I want you to the first hotel you see, that's where I want you to stay. That's okay. I drove in this before I was flying. I drove into town with my employee. I saw this broke down rat palace. I'm talking bad hotel. And the Lord had said the first hotel or motel, whatever you call it, that you see, that's where you should stay. I went, I pulled in. My employee said, what we doing, boss? What we doing, boss? I said, this is where we stay. This is where we stay, boss. I said, yeah. This is where we stay. Walked in there, was an old woman with no teeth in her mouth. Hot. I said, we'd like to get two rooms, okay? She said, you can have 12 and he can have 13. I said, okay. Give me a big old key with a big old plastic thing on it about that big. She said, oh, when you open the door, bang on that door first. I said, why? Well, just in case. So hit that note. I walked in there. You could tell there'd been 5 million people slept in that bed because there was a hole in the middle of it. You slept with your legs up because you was in the hole. I am not exaggerating. I remember taking a shower, and I pulled back the shower, and on the curtain there was some things looking at me. I am not exaggerating. Piece of soap about this big. Had one face towel and one very small bath towel. But thank God I wasn't fat in those days, so I could dry myself. My employee, he said, "Boss, don't take your shoes off because the dye on the carpet has just stained my socks." And the carpet was red. Ratty, ugly red. Shag carpet red. He said, "We're going to be here?" I said, "4 days." 4 days. Why, boss? Are we hurting? Nope. We ain't got no money? Oh, we got money. Would you like to go somewhere else? Nope. Why? I said, "Because the Lord said the first motel or hotel I see, that's where we stay." He said, "That's what the Lord says, what we're going to do." I said, "Okay." But that night I could hear him in the next room, his paper thin wall. Oh, Jesus, help us, Lord. Jesus. See, I know how to base. I hadn't forgot. And you should never forget. See, when you learn to yield the anointing of wealth, you could care less. You're at the point, God's with you anywhere you go, whether it's in a poor place or a nice place. Now, a nice place is much nicer, don't misunderstand me. But if you have to abase, you abase. A rich memory should follow a rich life. It is the gift of God to have the anointing to obtain wealth. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 20. "Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God." That's Ecclesiastes 5:20. What do you say? It is the gift of God to have the anointing to obtain wealth. That's Ecclesiastes 5:20. We'll tell you that. A rich member should follow a rich life. So thank God me and Kathy don't have to go to the store with $3 and pennies. Remember that? $3 and pennies. And thank God, man. The macaroni and cheese on sale. How much, Kathy, was it 10 cents or 15 cents a box? This is way back in 1970. We don't eat macaroni and cheese today anymore. But you know what she did the other day? She said, "Jesse, since I got me some utensils for Christmas, I'm going to make me some cabbage." You ought to have seen the cabbage that woman made. She made a pot of cabbage that would feed an army. You know what cabbage smells like when you're cooking it in your house? I couldn't breathe. It smells like it's been eaten at least 3 times. Finally, at 12 o'clock at night, she says, "Would you help me?" She said, "I want you to open up the doors." I said, "Open up the doors?" Yeah, she said, "We got to get this smell out of this house." Lord, dude. I said, "No, I can't. I'm going to bed like this. I went to bed. I don't know what she did, but she probably opened up the doors, man, trying to get the smell out. The air conditioning was going. Even the air conditioning was hurting. Glory to God. But the cabbage was good. Now, why are you such a giver? I have to make a confession. I'm an addict. And the Lord supports my habit. Give the Lord a hand clap for that. That's good. I'm an addict. See, when you become an addict in giving, God will support your habit. "Give and it shall be given unto you." Luke 6:38. God goes wild in that verse. See, I've become an addict. I can't help myself. I'm controlled. And the Lord supports my habit. Both of us are addicts. Yielding to the anointing of wealth confirms your faith in God, increases your knowledge of yourself, and strengthens your confidence in Him. When will we yield to that anointing of wealth? You ever notice that Brother Jesse sounds pretty confident in everything he does? You ever notice that? Some people think it's cockiness and arrogance. No, it's confidence. It's right. It's confidence and assurance. Why? I've yielded to the anointing of wealth. It confirmed my faith in God. It increases my knowledge of myself. and strengthens my confidence in him. That's why I put that verse out there on the top of the church. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that's gone out of my lips. You know, I prayed that yesterday. I said, Lord, let my covenant never be broken or anything I say be altered. Now, a lot of people think I may have altered, but you may have broke the covenant. And if you break the covenant, then the speech will be altered. You see, people say they're going to do something and they don't do it. But they expect me to hold me to my word, but my word was determined by what you said, not by what I said. I've had to tell that to some of my employees. I didn't break this covenant. I didn't break it. I don't know how you understood it, but I didn't break it. You see my point? Let me say it again. Yielding to the anointing of wealth confirms your faith in God. I love that. Increases your knowledge of yourself. Oh, Lord. And strengthens your confidence in him. You see, when you become, when you get around God a lot, let me close with this. Title of this message, when will we yield to the anointing of wealth? Because once that's done, ladies and gentlemen, oh God, I'm telling you, Jesus will be on, he'll be on the horizon. He will be coming because the gospel will be preached to the world. Man, and then we can get out of here. Now, once you understand what I'm ministering this morning, you can see faith in people. How do you know that? It's a substance. You can see it. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I don't want people to misunderstand. That doesn't mean I don't have trouble in life. There's always somebody fighting me, Emily, about something. And use this because they don't understand. They only see what I wear. Or what? You know, they look at this church and they say, a lot of nice things in this church. Well, shouldn't it be? It sure certainly should be. So if I go to your house and you got nice things, I wouldn't get mad. I'd say, that's nice. Look at that. Isn't that pretty? You see, but a lot of people don't understand that. Because see, the natural man receive it, not the things of God. They think it's a waste to build beautiful places for God. When there's so many hungry people in the world. Why are there hungry people in the world? This should never be a hungry person, Joe. The planet Earth, watch this, produces enough food to feed everyone in the world. We have corn rotting out on the grounds in Iowa and other places. The planet, even if there's a famine, we still have enough food to feed everybody. Why are people dying of starvation? Man's inhumanity to man. You better not blame that on God. God made the planet produce to feed and clothe and house everybody on this planet. But man's inhumanity to man. But they saw prosperity as a money message instead of an obedience message. So they said, since you ain't got no money, you starve. But if man would do what God says, there would never be a hungry child. People would run to the rescue. I mean, if you saw a child that was not your own, jumped out in the middle of a road, and you had enough time to go get that child before somebody hits that child with a car, would do that. You'd really reach, they don't have to be your child for you to save that child's life. It don't matter what color the baby is, what nationality, what creed, what sex. You would, if you have any human decency about yourself, you would reach out to save that child. I don't believe Ruth Tyler will mind me saying this. I'm going to say that by faith. I found out this week Ruth Tyler works for me. Ty Tyler is her son and Suzanne and there's a bunch of Tylers. And how many more we got? Liz. Who? Liz. Yeah, Liz. And Liz and they got a bunch of Tylers. We love the Tylers. I found out that Ruth is adopted. That she never knew her father. Never. I think she knew her mother or at least knew her mother's name. But you know, and she was adopted by some wonderful people in that issue. But you know who raised her? A black woman she called Nanny, a Nana. She said, I love that woman. And I think that lady passed away a few years back or whatever. Now Ruth, even though was adopted by a white family, but they had, I guess, a housekeeper or a maid or whatever, that she loved, I mean, that lady just raised her, just loved her. Just, she said, my God, she was like, mama, I guess you could say. Now, I never met the black person. I know a black person ain't stupid. She knew that she was taking care of a white child. But evidently, she didn't think Ruth was white. She must have thought of Ruth as a person. She must have loved her. Because Ruth, when you talk to Ruth about it now, Ruth, it blesses her. Oh, raised. You see, that's the eyes of Christ. You love people. The Bible says it explicitly. The angel said that he will be to all people. And we've separated ourselves. I'm so glad I got black people come to our church. Amen. I'm so glad I got white people come to our church. I'm so glad we got brown people. And we even got some Cajun people. Now, I would tell you what color a Cajun is, but the Cajun don't know. That's all I got to say about that. You know? But my point is, we just see people as people. Amen. Just like that lady that took care of Ruth growing up. Amen. Saw Ruth not as just some white little girl, but as a child that needed nurturing, that needed whatever it takes. That blessed me. That blessed me. That tells me there's some good people in the world. See. Now, we sure could know a lot more about those people if we'd learned to yield to the anointing of wealth so we could get those people to come out from the shadows so we can be a blessing to them. You understand what I'm saying? So they could be honored by the world and say, you know what, you may not have heard of her, but I wouldn't have had a life without her. And there's probably somebody in your family or someone you know that was a blessing. I have that. I have a couple that live in Houma, Louisiana. And I don't believe they'll mind me saying this. And I'll say it on television. Their name is Arthur and Margie Lee. Love them two people. Mr. Lee's in his 80s and Miss Margie, we don't know. But I would go to their house as a kid. All the kids did. We'd eat everything she cooked. We were not her children. She had children. But we were all her kids. I'm telling you, we would come in that house and eat the place down. And she never said, go home, go eat somewhere else. Come on in. And the other day, me and Kathy went, stopped by her home, and all her family was there. And we went, oh, we're sorry. No, and she said, you better stop, because you are family. It was such a blessing. They took care of me. They gave me my bachelor's party, right? That and the rehearsal dinner and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Just like as if they would have been my parents. They had truly blessed me. They still live in there. Wonderful people. We took them to Hawaii with us. We had more fun. Todd was with me. Now, Todd, you know, Todd's young. Everybody take a look at Todd. I mean, Todd, you know, this is my nephew here. I'm way older than Todd, you know. His daddy and we the brother-in-laws. We married the sisters, Kathy and Christine. Now, Todd was in a room. He was taken care of. But I found out that after he met Mr. Lee, he said, listen, I want to hang around with y'all. And you wouldn't think that Todd would want to hang around with a man in his 50s, a man in his 80s, but we have fun. Didn't we have fun? I mean, Todd said, where y'all going? I'm going to go with y'all. Well, you figure most young men like him are only going to hang with the young people. The young people ain't got no money. They can't do nothing. They ain't got money. We were having fun. We yielded. And Todd came along and yielded with us. Glory to God. We had a marvelous time. But it was just like Kathy said. She could see it. I was like 14 years old, 12 years old when I was around Mr. Lee and Mrs. Marge. It came back on me. And sure enough, I walked into that house that day. She said, you want something to eat? It hadn't changed. I said, what you got? She said, no, it hadn't changed. Because she said, people that love you never change. They love you no matter what. They love you. And that's a wonderful thing. And they don't want nothing from you other than just to let you know they love you. It blessed me. Hallelujah. And my good friend Mr. Lee had a little problem with his lungs. And he's talking about, I said, are you okay? I said, you call me anytime. Now, I'm not his son. But yes, I am. Now, I'm older than his oldest son. And I saw his oldest son. We all hugged each other. Lord, and one of his son-in-laws was once a state senator of the state of Louisiana. And is a general in the armed forces today. But you know what? It was like 40 years ago or 43 years ago. Hey, And we all just sat there and enjoyed ourselves. Why? We yielded to their anointing of love. And you know, we're all grown up, all of us, and I got white hair. But because we yielded to it all those years, when we get around each other, it's still there. So don't be angry, and I close with this statement, that I'll always be wealthy because I have yielded to it. Amen. Not that I can live better than you and be a big shot. No. No, that this gospel may be preached to the world. This minister looks at prosperity not as a money message, but as an obedience message. But I do live good, and I do not apologize for that, because I remember the Lord thy God, that it is he that giveth me power. So this is my year of overflow, and I don't know where I'm going to put it. Somebody shout, somebody. My God, my God. Now stand to your feet right now. Now I know it's a little later than normal. I want everyone that has a business, that's the owner of a business, I want to lay hands on you. I want you to get out of your seat right now and come and line up here. Come. Husband and wife, if you're married. Don't come if you don't have a business. I want you to come. Look at the people. Try to give me a line as best as we can, boys. I'm going to go slow. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it is 12 at the time. Here, 12:18, 12:19, something like that. You that are watching by internet, I want you to believe God. And I want you to yield to the anointing of wealth so you can be a blessing. Give me ushers, if I can have my ushers here. I want everybody on this front line to take two steps forward. On the back line, stay where you are. I'm going to go down and just lay hands on you. Listen to me. You that are watching my internet, we'll lay hands on you by faith. Faith destroys all distance between God and man. Now, I expect, I want everyone to listen to me. A little quieter there, Renee. I expect that you have a business and you want people to be a part of your business, that you must give them good service. You must give them a good product so that they'll always be a blessing to you and you will always be a blessing to them. You that come to Covenant Church, if these people are in a business that you need, you ought to be a part of their business. You ought to do that. You ought to be their customers. But if they don't give you service, and I'll be blunt, or they don't give you a good product, then you shouldn't be. I've learned something. To keep the wealth where it's supposed to be is everybody doing the right thing. You keep it in the family, in a sense. There's an old thing about very wealthy people. You don't marry outside the family. Why do you want to keep the wealth amongst themselves? And a lot of times it's from greed's sakes, but sometimes it's not from greed's sakes. Because if you don't know how to handle money, it will kill you. You better learn to respect money, because money will hurt you. But it can be the greatest blessing, because you can be a blessing to the kingdom. Now, I want you to purpose in your heart that this will be your year of overflow, spiritually, physically, financially, that you will be a blessing. That doesn't mean you let people be rude to you or they be rude to you. You're doing good business. God said if he was a slave, be the best slave you could be. See, God is into excellence. Now, the anointing that's on my life is going to come into your life. I'm talking overflow here. You understand what I'm saying? Overflow. Which means this. You're going to have to go like this. God, Lord, what are we going to do with all this? That means if you're selling stuff, you're going to have to be constant, keep your inventory. Lord Jesus. Now, remember, the devil's hearing me say this. So the first thing he's going to try to do is stop it. If you yield to that, he'll succeed. But if you yield to what I preach to you, it'll be durable. And the money that you make this year will become sacred, which means you can buy our new house if you want one. Or build a house for God somewhere. Or whatever. Remember, it is he that giveth thee power. Now, he has given me that power to get it without a scandal, without trying to get behind the door and What can you do for me and I'm going to do for you? You understand? Nah, none of that. I'm talking honest thanks. That means you better get ready to go to work. This will be your best year, but it'll be the hardest working year of your life. Are you ready? Winston Churchill said the price of greatness is responsibility. Now, starting down here, I'm going to just lay hands on you real quickly. I know many people, if you have to go home, I understand, but she's going to play a little bit. I'll pray for you too, whatever, but I only want to deal with people in businesses. Thank you, Lord. The Lord said, he just spoke. He said, I'm going to send more business people to your church. Not that I need any more money, but I'm going to get a bunch more because God understands my purpose. He said, Jesse, you understand what I want to do. Thank you, Lord. You know why people hate the Jews? You ever wonder why? Why would you just hate Jews for Jews' sake? Why do they call us Christian Zionists? They call me that. You're a Christian Zionist because you love the Jew. You ever notice about the Jews? They're very affluent. They're very smart business people. You notice they have kept it within themselves. Now, everybody say, that's bad. That ain't bad. That's called good business. That's God's way of doing things. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That's not a bad thing. Now, you can make it bad by becoming greedy and you can just try to hurt people. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff because then I don't care what nationality you are. That's wrong. You see what I'm saying? Remember years ago, they didn't want the black man to succeed? But God broke that, buddy. Yes. God broke that, and the biggest churches today are growing are the black churches. It's about time. Aren't you tired? And it used to make me so mad when I was first starting my ministry. I had a white pastor I went to preach for. He said, we're going to sell this church to the black people. We're going to get us a new one. I said, well, you think this one's bad? Yeah, it's kind of bad, but they'll like it. I almost turned around and walked home. I said, what makes you, why do you want to sell your junk to someone else? You see, I couldn't pray over that person today for God to bless him because you see, their blessings have become materialism instead of manifestation. You understand my point? I want to be very, when I lay hands on you, something's going to be imparted to you today. That means you live honorable and you do good business, an honorable business. You be a blessing where you can. But some of you that will go to these people's businesses, don't always expect a handout. If they want to bless you, fine. But be willing to be responsible. And what I mean by that is this. Just because you're Christian don't mean somebody got to take 98% off of it. Nothing wrong with doing a deal. Don't misunderstand me. But I'm saying this where that you got to hurt that person. And you walk on and say, I really got that one, buddy. Well, that ain't fun. All right? Play me something. Whatever the Lord tells you, we're starting down here. Hallelujah. Everybody just begin to pray. You can pray with your head up and your eyes open. Lift your hands up. Let the anointing of overflow come upon them. Let the anointing of overflow. The anointing of overflow, Jesus. The anointing of overflow. Let it come upon them. The anointing of overflow. Let it come upon them. The anointing of overflow. Let it come upon them. The anointing of overflow, Lord. Let it come upon them. Dale, pick your hand right here. Lord Jesus, let the anointing of overflow come upon the man. On Ida's business, on Dale's business. Everything they touch, Lord, let it prosper. Oh, beyond their wildest dream, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, I thank you for it. Let the anointing of overflow come upon them. Let the anointing of overflow come upon them. Let the anointing of overflow come upon them. Oh, Jesus. Let the anointing of overflow, the yielding of anointing of wealth come upon them. Let the anointing of overflow come upon them today. By the power of Jesus' name. Lord, let the anointing of overflow come upon them today. Let the anointing of overflow come upon them today. Let the anointing of overflow come upon them today, Lord. Let the anointing of overflow come upon them. Let the anointing of overflow come upon them today, Lord. Let the anointing of overflow come upon them today in Jesus' mighty name. Let the anointing of overflow come upon her. Oh, Jesus. Let everything she touched prosper. Prosper. Oh, God, let the anointing of overflow come upon Brenda, Lord. Let it come upon her. Overflow, Lord, overflow. Let the anointing of overflow come upon these people today. In Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Come on, people. Come on. Keep praying with me. Oh, come on, Bahasa. Oh, glory to God. Let the anointing of overflow come upon her today. Let the anointing of overflow come upon them today. Let the anointing of overflow come upon. Ow! Let the anointing of overflow come. Let the anointing of overflow come. Let the anointing of overflow come, Lord. Let the anointing of overflow come upon these people today. Everything they touch, let it prosper, God. Oh, Lord. Let the anointing of overflow come, God. Let it come forth. Let the anointing of overflow come upon this man. Everything he touched, let it prosper. Oh, Jesus, let that anointing come forth. Oh, come on, Basata. Let the anointing of overflow come. Let the anointing of overflow, Jesus. Oh, let the anointing of overflow come, Lord Jesus. Let the anointing of overflow. Let the anointing of overflow come, Lord Jesus.